The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hi, folks. Bob here. Don't just see Peter Pan live. Let it surround you. That's right. Peter Pan live in the 360 Theater, premiering in the Washington, D.C. area, June 24th on the biggest surround CGI theater stage in the world. Find out more at peterpan360.com and keep listening to the show. In just a few minutes, we'll tell you how you can enjoy this amazing experience for up to 50% less.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Okay, now you see this gentleman? Now he's giving me this this sign, and it says, we're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, June 18, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
It is.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Go get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Okay, you know, I want to dispense with all the happy crappy here at the top of the show, because obviously there's... I'm going to even get rid of the music here. There's obviously something that really, I think, touched and hurt a lot of people that occurred today. I can't, you know, if you're listening to the show for the first time, I will warn you that this show is going to be different than the shows that we normally do. There is no real way to make what happened in Charleston funny. There may be some laughs in here, and there are a few clips that we're going to play in which we will both cringe and laugh, I'm sure. But I didn't want to set about this show creating wacky comedy sketches and funny sound effects like we normally do. We're going to de-morning zoo-ify the show today.
Are you saying we're normally a morning zoo? That's a sad statement right there.
We're zoo-ish, I should say.
Zoo-ish, wow. Zoo station.
So what I want to do is get into what happened in Charleston, this massacre in South Carolina. And here we are again. Here we are again with another one of these things after having done nothing for too many years. I mean, there was I posted something on the Daily Banter today, and it was a highlight reel of every time President Obama has had to deliver remarks about a gun massacre in the United States. It's 14 times. 14 times in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. That's a lot, given that this is the sort of thing that doesn't really happen, as the president said today, doesn't really happen in other advanced countries. This is unique to the United States. And that speaks...
Our gun worship is unique to the United States.
Yeah.
We don't think of weapons as a tool, a utility. We think of them as part of our character. It's part of who we are. It's ingrained in our culture.
It's so deeply ingrained. It's ingrained.
It's part of our Constitution. It's protected in our Constitution.
Right. It's not only part of the Constitution, but it's actually part of, and this is what always gets brought up whenever there's a discussion about gun control, it's a part of our familial traditions.
Yeah.
I mean, people do this. This shooter today, Dylan Storm Roof is the guy's name. He was given his firearms, a handgun, by his dad for his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
second birthday, by the way. He was given it when he turned two.
When he turned two. So he's been sitting on it for a while. It's like, I gave this firearm to you on your second birthday.
Time to give you your gun, son. Here, I put it right there in the crib for you.
I'll take your whoopee and replace it with a gun. That guy, the shooter, seems strikingly and eerily young.
You know who he looks like? He looks, and this will be my apologies. Am I providing the laughs? I don't mean to. Like,
I guess,
Gareth,
you know, what the
he looks
hell?
Like,
I mean,
he looks like Gareth Keenan from the British version of The Office.
Oh, my God. That's exactly right.
It's like Gareth Keenan with a bowl cut.
Holy crap. And well, and Gareth Keenan had a bowl cut on the UK office.
Actually, yeah.
Jesus. Now I'm not going to be able to unsee that. Wow.
I just want to call him up in jail, and when he answers, just go,
you're a cock, you're a cock, you're a cock.
Mm-hmm. Gareth Keenan.
Oh, my God. So what happened exactly, if you haven't, if you're just now joining the rest of the world, guy sat in on a prayer group session at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, or they call those AMEs.
Yeah.
And sat in for this prayer group for an hour and took out a handgun and killed 8 people, wounded 3. I think there are 3 survivors.
Yeah. Another one died either at the hospital or on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so 9 people dead.
Reloaded, I think,
5 times.
5 times. In a second, we're going to play a Fox and Friends clip in which Brian Kilmeade tries to do the math. He's like, well, there were only 8 victims, but why do you have to load 5 times? I mean, 1 bullet apiece? What a doofus. Those people just derped it up all morning.
Now, derp isn't really the right word. What they did was monstrous, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I mean, they can't be laughed at anymore. Not that we should have laughed at them before. I mean, certainly we can, and we have throughout a very long period of time, especially on this show. But they are, by deflecting away from the reality of what happened, mm-hmm. to something complete, you know, just, hey, look over here, look at this thing. No, you know what? It fits this narrative over here. And this is the narrative that we've been pushing to you for the longest time. And this is what's really going on. Uh-huh, you know, here's life inside the bubble. Mm-hmm. By doing that, they're enabling this atmosphere.
Yeah.
They're furthering this kind of crap.
Well, when
they're covering for the, quite frankly, they're covering
exactly,
for this guy.
That's the exact word I was just going to use.
They are covering for his true motives.
Right. They're covering for the gun lobby. Because as long as they can distract from really what's at the center of all of these things, yeah. As long as they can offer up really good PR excuses for why it's not about the guns. It's
even
about
even if you were to make the argument that, like, look, you know what, let's wait until we get every single fact in before we jump to a conclusion as to what this guy's motives were. Even if you make that statement, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But to say, oh, you know what, we've figured out the narrative and we're going to jump over this incredibly obvious reason why he may have done it and go to this ludicrous thing way out in left field. You know, we're going to overlook the fact that he's, you know, that he yelled, you rape our women and you're taking over our country before he killed people. We're going to overlook the fact that there's a Confederate, you know, a Confederate symbol on the front of his car, and that in that first picture, he's wearing a jacket with the white South African and the Rhodesian flag.
Rhodesian, yeah, the fake nation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's all white power crap. And we're going to overlook all of that, and we're just going to go to, well, you know what? Maybe he shot people because they were Christian. Yeah, that's it. Could be.
Yep, and it wasn't just Fox. Let's actually play this clip here. Here's Steve Ducey, the Ducey in the Box.
Joining us right now is Senior Pastor of Hope Christian Church, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Good morning to you, sir.
By the way, stop for me.
Good morning. Okay.
Important thing to keep in mind is E.W. Jackson provides instant absolution for them because he's black.
Yeah.
That's
the
first thing to keep in mind. Second, and very important thing to keep in mind, is that E.W. Jackson is fucking nuts. He's really, really, really hardcore paleoconservative. He's a guy who doesn't like Obama, he's pro-gun, he's exactly the kind of guy who Fox News would make sure to keep right there, like at the very first, you know, very first spot on the Booker call list.
Yeah, yeah.
So that needs to be stated right off the bat.
And certainly the way the MO of some of these guest spots is, what they do is they call around. They go through their Rolodex, their list of numbers of analysts. And they say, can you give us a take on Charleston that involves making this all about persecution against Christians.
Can you confirm this narrative that we're setting up?
Precisely.
Exactly. Thank you.
And so this is what this guy is doing, and then the Deucey in the box and the other, you know, giggling couch tumors, you know, follow suit and repeat the same thing.
Your thoughts this morning?
Well, first of all, I'm pastor of the Call Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. Mm-hmm. But we had a prayer vigil this morning at 6 a.m. praying for the people in Charleston, South Carolina. We're urging people, wait for the facts. Don't jump to conclusions. But I have to tell you, I am deeply concerned that this gunman chose to go into a church, because there does seem to be a rising hostility against Christians across this country because of our biblical...
We don't jump to conclusions, but you know, this conclusion that I seriously just pulled out of my ass with no evidence whatsoever, this is a good conclusion for us to jump to.
Right, right. It's all about this narrative that they started even before this occurred.
Of course.
This has been going on for weeks now, if not months.
There was an edict that came down this morning somewhere from Roger Ailes' office, and even if it wasn't just completely, you know, just, hey, look, screw the racial angle, it said, you know, we think that it's a good possibility. This is another example of the war on Christians. That's exactly, you know, that's what if that's what this is?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's what we should be asking.
And that's what they, I mean, it fits so perfectly with everything they've been doing. It fits perfectly with these religious freedom laws and the guys like Mike Huckabee saying that, yeah, you know what, Christians are being persecuted now. There's going to be, everyone's going to have to marry gay people. And it's an all-out war on Christians in the United States. You know, the 70% majority.
Yeah.
Where there's a war by the other 30% against the 70%.
Yep.
Views, and I just think it's something that we have to be aware of and not create an atmosphere in which people take out their violent intentions against Christians.
I mean, they have got to be the only ones.
Which, by the way, never happens in this country.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like the only time it happens is when Fox News invents it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is something that is unique to Fox News Channel. Did anyone hear this news? I guess it was very early this morning. It was last night, wasn't it?
It was late last night. I was watching throughout most of the night.
Yeah, yeah. And when that news came down, did anyone say, well, this is a war on Christians? This guy's killing Christians.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No, what Fox News does, it holds up a funhouse mirror to reality.
Yeah.
And it provides this awesomely surreal distortion of what's really going on, and just it's the reflection back is perfect for the audience that Fox News is preaching to.
So what you're getting here is you're getting your God and your guns, and then they turn around and say, Barack Obama lecturing us about our God and guns. Right. Can loop gays in there because the whole Christian persecution thing has everything to do with same-sex marriage.
By the way? As when I wrote about it earlier today, just a little while ago at Banter, it was still there. The main headline at Fox News' website right now says that they're still looking for answers as to why this happened. And if you go into the story, the word black only appears when they describe this guy's car as a black Hyundai Elantra.
Oh, my God.
They never mention race. Not once.
I mean, this guy, they've got a quote from this guy. He said something about how they're, you rape our women and you're taking over our country and you have to go.
Yeah, because, you know, Christians, they're really into rape.
Yeah, that's right.
That's something you hear a lot about Christians. You know, there's Christians and their rape. I could get behind Jesus if only it wasn't for the rape.
But, I mean, how do you see a quote like this and go, we don't know? Is it the brain? Is it the Fox News brain room going, hey, you know what? I don't know. This guy. What did this guy say? You rape our women and you're taking over our country and you have to go. Oh, my God. He hates Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about Christians, obviously. Good God.
We just don't know. I haven't watched. I'm sure Shep's been on by now to just basically put everybody in their place. I hope so.
It's like, you know, it's like watching that scene from Silence of the Lambs where Hannibal Lecter is served dinner in that cage, and instead of eating his dinner, he kills those two cops. Yeah. And the Fox News brain room is looking at that scene and going, He hates lamb chops.
Right, that's why he did it.
That's why he did it. He didn't want these lamb chops. What does Hannibal Lecter have against lamb chops? Extra
obviously
rare.
Obviously angry over dinner.
Someone gave him bad lamb chops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he crucified, you know, Officer Pembry. Let's continue with this god-awful Fox and Friends clip.
It was released earlier, and extraordinarily, they called it a hate crime.
Extraordinarily. Ducey, you f***ing asshole.
You know, here's the rule that will never occur at Fox News Channel. If there is a serious news story, get those talking monkeys off of that couch and bring in Shep Smith. Anyone at that network has more heft. They could bring in Sean Hannity. They could rehire Glenn Beck to provide analysis, and it would be more serious than these idiots.
The problem is this isn't a news story for them. And by the way, very few stories that Fox covers are actual news stories. There's a political angle to everything, and Fox News needs to make sure that it is on the right, both figuratively and literally, side of the debate. You know, that it's putting forth the narrative that its audience wants, that its audience will expect. And that's why Fox and Friends sets the tone throughout the day of what the coverage is going to be, of how the coverage will be shaped.
And that's scary. That's scary because they're idiots. They really are. For God's sake, we played on the post-mortem show on Tuesday. We played that, or maybe it was the regular show. I don't know. They all run together for me. We played that clip of the Fox and Friends guys eating and Elizabeth Hasselbeck eating pizza. Ducey basically crying in his pants over the pigs in a blanket pizza.
Because that's exactly the kind of thing that, middle America would just eat. They're putting pigs in, they're putting hot dogs and pizza.
But these are the people setting the tone for the rest of the broadcast day on Fox News Channel. God help us all.
Which is funny because they're pandering so hard to, middle America. I'm putting air quotes around middle America. Yeah. Middle America as a milieu rather than an actual place. The sad thing is that, I've driven across the country several times, and you want to believe that not everybody is as dumb as they think they are.
Yeah, right. But boy, they're dumber. They're a lot dumber.
Maybe.
Considering that Fox News Channel is the number one cable news network.
No, you know what? But again, we've talked about this a bunch of times. Dude, they're about to move Brian Williams for good off of the nightly news desk. That man was getting ratings of 10 million people a night. 10 million people a night he would bring in. Fox, on a really, really good night, Bill O'Reilly will bring in 2 million on a really good night. When you think about it, they really don't have that much authority, and yet they have a ton of authority because the people who watch them will watch them from dawn till dusk, beyond.
Yep.
They will never stop watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn to dawn.
Well, it is a relatively small population or cross-section of the population, but the fact of the matter is that of the people who are engaged in the news, more people are engaged in Fox News.
Absolutely. And one political party, it basically dispenses the conventional wisdom for one political party.
Let's take a break right now, and then when we come back, we'll get more into this, because I think this might be the clip where Brian Kilmeade tries to do the math on the number of shots. God help us all. Back right after this. Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Go to bubblegenius.com and pick up their Yet Dirty Mug Celebrity Mugshot Picture Soap. Choose from a dozen different celebrity mugshots, including Jane Fonda, Sinatra, Hugh Grant, Bill Gates, David Bowie, or Mick Jagger. The image is printed on a special paper that dissolves along with the soap. It's embedded in the center, so it'll pretty much last the life of the soap. And it comes in fresh coffee scent. Only $7 at bubblegenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at bubblegenius.com.
The
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yeah, welcome back to the show today. Again, it's a different kind of show today. And, you know, I don't mind saying that, you know, sometimes, once in a while, you gotta put aside the fart sounds and the zany comedy antics and really take a serious look at what the f*** is going on in the world. And this is one of those things that, I mean, we were both really taken by the Sandy Hook situation. I mean, I remember doing the shows after that, and that was hard. And you know what? There have been intervening gun massacres since then, but for some reason, I don't know, this one in particular struck me. Because
They all should.
Yeah. But I mean, it struck me above and beyond. Like, struck me in a, not necessarily in a Sandy Hook kind of way.
Right.
But these were people who were trying to better themselves, trying to improve themselves, trying to commune with their faith, with their God, to be part of a community.
A shooting in a church.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the only reason I just kind of, you know, like chuckled a little bit there is that I'm just, I'm kind of like, it's tough to wrap your head around any of this anymore. It's that feeling that I think after Sandy Hook, I kind of gave up.
Yeah.
I realized that it's not going to change. It's not going to change. The racism isn't going to change. The gun violence absolutely isn't going to change.
Right.
You know, I mean, not racism with Sandy Hook, but, you know, racism with the police shootings. But when it comes to Sandy Hook, yeah, you know what? The gun violence isn't going to change. It's never going to change. You know, if Sandy Hook wasn't the call to lack of arms that this country needs, and we didn't follow through on cutting back on our gun lust and making some changes at the legislative level, then nothing is going to do it. I mean, and I think that's why I think that as soon as I saw this, it was so sad, and yet the only thing I could come up with was sort of a helpless chuckle, like, well, you know,
yeah.
There we are. Here we are again.
Right. And the fact that the right is framing this as a Christian persecution story,
dear God,
is going to make it even more challenging, because then when you start to focus on the guns, the response is going to be, why aren't you acknowledging the fact that Christians are getting persecuted in this country? And then it's the whole victimhood crap from the vast majority of the population of the United States. This huge majority of white Christians.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretending to be the victim.
It's just unbelievable. It allows white Christians to suddenly become the victims.
Right, right. And then it's all wrapped into the...
Which is so unbelievably offensive.
Right.
When you consider what really happened.
By the way, we're going to have a clip here of Fox News Channel suggesting that this wouldn't have happened if there were guns in church. And you know what? It's Steve Doocy again. Steve... God, I mean, like I said, God help us all.
And some Doocy, look at...
Doocy's on fire.
Doocy's on fire. Everybody loves the Doocy in the box today. Here's more of that clip.
It's because it was a white guy, apparently, and a black church. But you made a great point just a moment ago about the hostility toward Christians. So, and it was a church, so maybe that's what they're talking about.
I hate him.
Yeah.
I mean, I legitimately hate him.
It's just an awful, awful way to approach. I mean, it's so far off base, and he's so
pumping
stupid.
Poison. You're pumping poison to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Poison. Complete bullshit.
And because
stuff
it's,
that is not true, that is demonstrably not true.
And it's three times the poison because all three of these nutbags are saying at the same time. But add a fourth one with their guest.
Yeah.
They haven't explained it to us.
Well, yeah, I don't know whether most people jump to conclusions about race. I long for the day when we stop doing that in our country. Yeah. But we don't know why he went into a church, but he didn't choose a bar. He didn't choose a basketball court. He chose a church, and we need to be looking at that very closely.
Absolutely, and reports are saying he was there, sitting there for about an hour, and then decided to kill the
just
nine
waiting.
People that he shot dead.
Sick.
which is an amazing thing, that somebody would come in like they're peaceful and intent on receiving what's being taught, and then they turn and attack people. I mean, it's a tragedy beyond human comprehension. We pray for those people down there. But yes, I think churches have got to be a lot more vigilant, perhaps, than we've ever been before.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
EW, thank you very much for joining us.
Good God, it's so offensive.
It really
is. It's so unbelievably offensive.
Here's Lindsey Graham basically saying the same thing.
Do you feel like it's a hate crime, or do you think it's more mentally disturbed?
Probably both. One probably precludes the other. There are real people out there who are organized to kill people in religion and based on race. This guy's just whacked out. But it's 2015. There are people out there looking for Christians to kill them.
It's 2015. There are people out there looking for Christians to kill.
No, there are not. No, there are not. No, there are not. No, there are not.
Nope.
I could say this until the end of the show. Not in the United States of America. Christians are the majority by a landslide.
Yep. Yep. There are people out there looking to kill other people. But to frame this as an epidemic of violence against Christians is so far off the rails. It's nowhere near. It's miles and miles and miles away from the rails. That's how far off the rails it is. But now it's getting mainstream. Now this is going to be a thing that we've got to swat down. Not only when it comes to the debate around same-sex marriage, which is an effing no-brainer at this point.
And they've taken a problem. They've taken a – not a problem. They've taken a crisis, a full-on crisis for black America, and they have diffused it out to white people.
Right.
You know what, white people? You got to worry. You got to worry.
We're
all one race. Why would you dare say that, you know, why, you know what? You're racist. You're splitting us up into different races. I don't see color.
By the way, later in the show, guess who weighed in on all of this? Take a guess. Take one guess.
If you said the show was going to be serious, then it can't be Dan Bedondi.
No, I
bet it's Alex Jones, though.
It's Alex Jones. Yes, exactly right.
Did he already call it a false flag?
Well, InfoWars called it a false flag.
Of course they did.
Alex Jones said this is about starting a race riot. No, not a race riot, but a race war.
Great, terrific. He's Charles Manson now.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But here's this other Fox and Friends clip. We'll get all the Deucey the Clown crap out of the way as soon as possible. This is the other Fox and Friends clip, which they're talking about how this would have been prevented if there had been a guy with a gun in the church.
Had somebody in that church had a gun, they probably would have been able to stop him. And I'll tell you why. There are a couple of news reports out this morning that apparently that man, we don't know what the nature of his weapon is, but apparently he reloaded 5 times. I mean, if you take the time to reload 5 times, if somebody was there, they would have had the opportunity to pull out their weapon and take him out.
9 shots,
and
5 times, or did he miss a lot?
In a church! That's the answer. The answer is to arm people in churches.
Exactly. All right, let's – I mean, we're talking
Think about the goddamn absurdity of that.
We're talking about such a ridiculous hypothetical. Like, what if the guy – you know, you get down this rabbit hole going in this direction with this line of reasoning from them. And it's not even reasoning. It's nonsense. But, you know, let's just say the guy the other gunman, the good guy with the gun, what if he was the first one who got shot? Then what happens? So are we saying that everyone should be armed in church? Is this where we are now in the United States, in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Yeah, everybody, you know what? We can't do anything about guns because, well, you know, guns are liberty. So everyone bring your gun to church just in case there's a massacre. No, what could possibly go wrong there? People, you know, it's just like people dropping their, you know, it's like they're praying and they stand up and their gun falls out and a little baby walks up. That, you know what, that fires the gun. Maybe the baby kills someone. That, you know what, that's just as realistic a hypothetical as the whole notion of, well, there could have been a good guy with a gun in the church. Why don't we get security guards in all churches?
You know what we should arm in church? Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus, like, suddenly on the cross, just like, spins around like Michael Bay style and whips out like an M60 and just starts mowing down people.
Right. Right. Whatever happened to that notion that there are, you know, like I know some really, really devout Christians, like Christian fundamentalists, who insist that there are angels on their bumpers protecting them from car accidents. Have you ever heard that?
I think it sounds legit.
That's the thing. Whatever happened to that? All right, let's continue this. This is Brian Kilmeade's about to try to do math in his head.
To pull out their weapon and take him out.
9 shots, 5 times, or did he miss a lot? I'm not sure. I didn't hear about reloading.
9 times, and he had all those rounds, and did he miss a lot? Brian Kilmeade asks. Yes, wow. Kilmeade. No, Kilmeade. Kilmeade, you effing moron. You Cro-Magnon man. Cro-Magnon man. You know, you talking Monchichi, you. You know what? It's obvious that what Dylan Storm Roof did to those people is he shot them multiple times.
Right.
He annihilated these people. Mm-hmm. So you know what we need to do, Brian Kilmeade? We need to actually keep it legal to have these extended magazines for firearms, too. So this way, there can be fewer reloading, you know, when the good guy with the gun is there.
Right.
You moron. All right, we'll just wrap up this clip here before we break.
Yeah, he reloaded 5 times, and apparently there were 3 survivors.
Yeah, 3 survivors. 3 males are dead. 6 females are dead. 3, as you just said, Steve, survived.
But had somebody in there had a gun.
It's a great point. Let us know what you think about that. Now, joining us now is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's a great, great point. Great point.
It is. You know, you're so concerned about the people who were killed. I can tell.
Oh, my God. All right, let's
take... You know what? You're right. I feel so bad because they're Christian.
Let's take a break. Come back with more show right after this. Imagine being surrounded by the spectacular scenery of Neverland while Peter Pan actually flies over your head. Peter Pan live in the 360 Theater starting Wednesday, June 24th. And because you listen to this podcast, you can enjoy this amazing experience for up to 50% off the regular ticket price. Just go now to peterpan360.com and enter the code PETER to save up to 50% on up to 6 tickets for any performance. The Boston Globe called Peter Pan live in the 360 Theater truly jaw-dropping for all ages. The 360 Theater is the largest surround CGI stage in the world, and there are no bad seats. The DC show starts Wednesday, June 24th, and it's your only chance to see it in the DC area. Get your tickets now and get them for less. Go to peterpan360.com, enter the code PETER, then prepare yourself and your family to be surrounded by the magic of Peter Pan live in the 360 Theater.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Pants. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, the fun and hijinks continue today on the show. It's a very, like I said, it's a very, very different show, but I think that's okay. That every once in a while we can put aside the zany and dig into something serious. And this is something that we actually have.
Are we ever really zany?
I don't know. I'm being ironic because sometimes you know what? Sometimes we are zany. We've been zanier recently. Which is fine, which is by design. I mean, we're amping up the level of comedy on the show. But every once in a while, I think with an event like this that has such far-reaching consequences, because it's not just about this event, it's about broader racial tensions in the United States. It's about our inability to do something about simply getting some rational, reasonable, and yes, constitutional gun control legislation passed. And the fact that no matter how many people are killed, and we rewind again back to the Sandy Hook example, 22 children gunned down, and we can't do a damn thing about it. And all we wanted to do at that point in time, the only legislation that tried to get through Congress at that point in time was, oh, you know what, we're going to have background checks for internet sales and gun shows. That was the extent of the legislative reaction to the Sandy Hook massacre. You know, Barbara Boxer tried to introduce another gun ban, but that never ended up making it to the floor. There was just the one thing about gun shows and internet sales, the loophole on the background checks there. And we couldn't, that couldn't get done because the effing NRA, the NRA scares the bejesus out of every single, you know, Republican and even many Democratic members of Congress. They just own that place. And so no one's brave enough to stick their neck out for fear of getting primaried, you know, for fear of the NRA doing a money bomb for their primary opponent or their general election opponent. I mean, look, one of the biggest gun guys in Congress is John Barrow. Did a campaign commercial in which he's got his shotgun. Talks about his constitutionally protected shotgun. That's a Democrat.
Yep.
God damn.
We love our guns.
We really, really do. We really love our guns in this country. Let's see. This is Fox News Channel talking about the president's address today, which, once again, the 14th address by the president commenting on a gun massacre. Fox News Channel calling the president's reaction opportunistic. Here we go.
The president, a little surprising, he came out talking about gun control very quickly, which some may find to be insensitive. They're going to debate.
There's that word again, by the way. Some.
Some. Yeah, some. As in our editorial meeting.
Exactly. I'm not saying it. It's just some people.
Just some. Some people might.
Those people over there are saying it. And we're just quoting them because, God. So, you know what?
I gotta tell you, seriously.
Yeah.
If we could figure, you know, I realize that this goes against the whole idea of freedom, but if Fox News went off the air tomorrow morning, the discourse in this country would improve by 100%.
Oh, yeah. What was that study that was done recently where they were talking about you can see a precipitous rise in far-right conservatism in towns that are just getting Fox News Channel for the first time on their cable system? Like they lined up the bar graphs showing the level of conservatism and Republican voters increasing as soon as Fox News Channel enters. And you know what? Ultimately, if a town, a county someplace wants to become Republican all of a sudden, there's a big Republican sweep through that area, fine. But the fact that it's Fox News Republicanism, it's Fox News conservatism that gets injected into these places, like the Ebola virus.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's what makes it scary.
No, it's true. I've said this many times. I'm not opposed to some conservative ideas.
No.
But this is why I could never in a million years, even if I were someone who held a lot of conservative ideas, I can't call myself a conservative because Fox News has defined what Fox News and the Tea Party, which was created by Fox News, have defined what conservatism is.
Right. Right. And it's a bastardized conservatism.
Yeah.
It's a conservatism that shows no relationship to what it was even 30 years ago. And it's
really offensive.
Yeah. Basically, it's become a marketing scheme, is essentially what it is. Conservatism now is fast food. Conservatism now is selling, selling crap you don't need to people who don't have any money. It's so empty and so intellectually violent that, you sit here and you try to be reasonable and you try to debate these people and you just hope beyond hope that maybe this time I'm having this conversation with my crazy uncle over Thanksgiving dinner or whatever it is, a Twitter battle or something, and you hope maybe this time they'll at least agree on what the facts are. But you can't even get there. Because while this is very, like, for example, in today's news, this is very obviously a racially driven shooting where guns and racism are the centerpiece of it. Fox News is off on this other thing that they have yanked out of their bungholes in the brain room. And so there's just massive disconnect between what the rest of the world thinks and what Fox News is telling their viewers to think.
Yeah.
And it is bad. It is bad for America. All right. Continuing on before we break with this this analysis of the president's address.
That I'm sure and point fingers, but we know how this goes.
Perhaps it was opportunistic in the sense that, well, I've got the nation's attention on this, whatever. Real quick, we've got like 20 seconds.
I just wanted to say that, look, in this case, we're not talking about an assault rifle. We're talking about an assault weapon. We're talking about a handgun. You know, when it was the Sandy Hook case, we were talking about, oh my God, you know, people shouldn't have these types of weapons. They shouldn't have access to these types of weapons. And now it's just a handgun. So we're going to say you shouldn't have any handguns.
No.
So
and that's my question.
That's not at all. What you're saying.
If you eliminate.
Oh God. All right. So everyone's
speaking of opportunistic.
That's right. Circling the wagons there, aren't they? Let's take one last break, and we'll come back with Alex Jones weighing in right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
So I had this this bit planned for today about Lindsey Graham, but it's going to be Tuesday. We'll premiere that on Tuesday's show. It'll be funny, I think. I kind of.
Monday finds you like a bone. It's been left again.
All right. And, of course, there'll be more fun on the after party. That'll be on Friday. You can get the after party by supporting us at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Or you can get it at bobseska.com. You can subscribe for $6 a month, or lots of different ways to get the after party. $2 per show at our Bandcamp page. That's bobandchez.bandcamp.com.
Give us money, or we're going to become conservative, because those people give money to anything.
That's right, man. We're
going to start doing a conservative. We should pick one show and do it like totally conservative, a complete parody of conservative, some like sort of Fox News or Rush Limbaugh type show, and then post that on Patreon and push it out there to conservatives.
So has there been a GoFundMe set up yet for Dylann Roof?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen.
No, of course not. They this news came down right before we started the show.
Notice how I'm not surprised by that idea.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of like, no, let me go check. I don't think... This came down right before we started the show. The roommate of the white 21-year-old man who allegedly massacred 9 people at a historic black church in Charleston, South Carolina, said Thursday that he thought the suspect had been planning the attack for about 6 months. Dalton Tyler told ABC News that he'd known Dylann Storm Roof. I've never heard that name before. Dylann Storm Roof.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Storm is like awesome because that sounds so wonderfully white power.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's making me think about the cult leader character in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Richard Wayne Gary Wayne.
That's
the guy's
good.
Name. Awesome. John Hamm, hysterically funny in that show as the cult leader. Dylann Storm Roof, he had known Dylann Storm Roof for about 7 months to a year. Tyler told the news outlet that he last saw Roof about a week ago and knew he'd been planning something like the Charleston church attack for 6 months. Well, thanks for telling us now, Mr. Tyler.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Where were you a few nights ago?
Yeah, he's out in his you know, f***ing around on his Tumblr or something like that when he could have been warning people. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, he was big into segregation and other stuff. And I think that's a loaded statement. And other stuff, Tyler told ABC News. He said he wanted to start a civil war. He said he was going to do something like that and then kill himself. Tyler described Roof as a...
Oh, you know what he means? Oh, hold on, I'm sorry. He means a civil war between Christians and everybody else.
Oh, that's right, because he hates Christians.
That's right. Obviously, this guy hates Christians.
Tyler described Roof as, quote, on and off with his parents, according to ABC News. Members of Roof's immediate family have not been not given extensive comment on his alleged crime. a woman who was on Thursday, answered a cell phone belonging to Roof's mother, Amelia, told Reuters, quote, "We will be doing no interviews ever." A reporter for the Post and Courier newspaper tweeted that a man who answered the door at Roof's Eastover, South Carolina home declined to speak with reporters and told them to get off his property. Mm. Well, yeah, no crap. I mean, you know, seriously. But so what we don't know, and what Alex Jones is going to tell us, is that this is all about precipitating a race war. And it's going to happen not a year from now, not 2 years from now. It's going to happen this summer.
Awesome.
This is going to be the summer of the big race war.
Honestly, you know what? Seriously, I didn't have any other plans this summer.
I'm telling you, Alex Jones, his nipples could cut glass today. Listen to this.
The good news is I am confident that
folks, this is it. They've been hyping race war, pushing it as hard as they can, saying the NRA is the new KKK, even though the NRA was founded in part, 50-50, to arm blacks in the South who were being disarmed. In fact, there were calls by liberal groups to disarm whites particularly today, and I just want to point out that that's been done before, but to blacks. In the South, the first gun laws were against blacks. And then when blacks migrated north to Chicago, New York, and D.C., they passed the most draconian laws in the country to disarm blacks. And that's why, what, you've got, last number I saw was 14 blacks a week are being shot almost exclusively by other blacks. And
deflection. This is Alex Jones deflecting. Yep. Now we're gonna turn this into Chicago. We're gonna talk about Chicago now. Can't address this situation, what this kid did, and why he did it.
Yeah, we're gonna overlook the most obvious thing that's right in front of us in favor of that thing that's way the hell out in left field.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about Chicago and all the blacks shooting blacks. This is boilerplate that we're hearing here. You just go to Teacot on Twitter, and all you'll see is Chicago. What about Chicago? Black on black crime. Why is no one talking about black on black crime? And here's Alex Jones. Hey, you can start a race war and all these black on black crimes in Chicago. God.
Killed in Chicago. You're not going to see a press conference from the president on that or on the 51% of blacks that were never born.
Oh yeah, now looping abortion.
I love how they always jump to the we're the ones who really care about black people.
Yes, they had a whole thing. They had a rally. Alex Jones had a rally. I forget if it was in Austin or some town nearby, but it was they appropriated the Black Lives Matter slogan, and it was an anti-abortion rally.
Holy hell!
Because black fetuses are aborted too.
You're going to hear them now.
Despicable.
Yeah, really.
I'll say gun ownership, as Michael Moore has been saying, gun ownership is about racist white people. And you go, that doesn't make sense. What's it with race? They're going to push it now.
So what has he done here? He's looped in race war. He's looped in Michael Moore. He's looped
all the boogeymen.
Yeah, exactly. He's looped in Chicago, black on black crime, the Second Amendment. All of his little bugaboos, all of his little things.
It's boogeymen and concern trolling.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, yeah. So, that's Alex Jones.
All of it to avoid talking about the thing that is right in front of your face.
Exactly.
Because the thing that's right in front of your face is very, very inconvenient to your particular narrative and the one that your listeners and your true believers want to put their weight behind her 110%. It is they don't want to hear the very ugly reality of what's truly going on out there because in that reality they're kind of the enemy, and if they're not the enemy, they're at least somebody willing to overlook it.
Yeah,
they're indirect beneficiaries of it.
I mean, the real tragedy in all of this, and there are so many things that are tragic, but in the bigger picture, the real tragedy here is the fact that we have these products that are sold in America by the millions and more every year. I mean, sales are going up. We're going to see a spike in gun sales coming up here any day now, any second now, frankly. We cannot come up with decent legislation to say, you know what? You do have a right to own one of these things, but they're dangerous and they kill people. They are designed to kill and wound other living creatures. That's the inherent purpose of these devices. Not like a hammer or a car. Those things, or a knife even, which are designed to do other things.
Right.
They're
besides
dangerous.
Kill.
Yeah. But these things are specifically intended. These are a consumer product that we cannot regulate in any way, shape, or form, even though they are deadly. And that is the intention to do it. I don't know anyone who buys a gun thinking, well, this might not be deadly.
Right.
You know, there's no chance of that.
I'm going to use this to shoot doorknobs so I can kick in doors like they do on TV shows.
So, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before, so I'm not breaking any news. You're a gun owner. You own a handgun.
Yes.
Do you have any inclination in your head that if there's an intruder in your house that you would simply try to wound him in the kneecap or something?
Oh, do I have any inclination about that?
I mean, someone comes into your house, what's your intention? Would you want to kill the person or just wound them, disable them?
If somebody comes into my home and I think that they're a threat, yeah, I mean, look, you know, I got taught by a cop.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, while I know that a lot of people like to say, well, you know, why'd you fire a warning shot? Why don't you shoot? No, cops are trained to shoot to kill.
Yeah.
If you're going to fire your weapon, you have to aim it at, you know, center mass and try to kill the person, which, you know, I mean, that's all very, very clinical. But I mean, it would kind of depend on the situation. It would. But I think, put it this way, I think if I felt that my life were threatened enough to actually draw a gun on somebody, I would be willing to kill that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why you don't draw unless you think you're in imminent danger.
Sure. Okay, so one more thing, and then I want to get to some tweets.
And by the way, if somebody told me tomorrow morning that, you know, we could get rid of guns, I'd give mine back.
Oh.
I don't care. How long have I owned one? I've never used the fucking thing. I mean, I've used it to shoot target practice, but that's it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, you know, the only reason that I have one is because I traveled across country alone for a couple of weeks. And I'm like, well, you know what? If I'm going to be in the middle of nowhere, probably a good idea. Might be a nice idea. But in my own home, I don't worry that much.
Yeah.
I don't have much to take.
Well, and the big difference is between you as a gun owner, as a sensible, smart human being who owns guns, or a gun, you're not going around with this vigilante complex.
Never.
And so many of these guys, they buy a gun because they're looking for that opportunity to use it.
Yeah. They want to be the hero.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Alex Jones's website, Infowars.com, says this might have been a false flag because Dylann Roof's Facebook page was barely used and created in 2015.
Oh, dear God.
With only 80 friends. So shows it might have been a front.
Total false flag. Yeah. I can't wait to hear false what Badandi has to say about false this.
Flag. Oh, my God.
It's going to be good. Next week's going to be a winner.
Just some tweets that came down to us about this news story. This is from Stacy Crockett. My first question is, why isn't the Confederate flag at half-staff in South Carolina?
Yeah, that's actually a really big question because, yeah. I mean, they've got the state capitol, the state flag, I believe, at half-staff today. But
the Dixie flag is not, right?
The stars and bars, that's way up there.
Yep. Diana DeVoe tweets, I visited hashtag Emmanuel Church. Reverend Pinckney was lovely and loving man, filled with joyful spirit. Yeah, I mean, the pastor of the church was killed.
Charleston is a beautiful place.
It is.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Stephen Colbert is from Charleston.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful town.
Fort Sumter is there, where the Civil War began. Maybe that's where they got the idea that he was starting a civil war.
I guess.
Because he went to Charleston where this actual civil war started. Joel Cherney writes, no doubt in my mind that Roof picked yesterday on purpose, church burning anniversary, and Juneteenth tomorrow. That's right, Juneteenth is tomorrow. Alexander Fish tweets, the idiocy of Fox saying it was Christian bashing and not owning up to the fact that extreme racism is alive and well. Yeah, that's
exactly
really
right. They can't acknowledge racism, and then it's a problem that it's deadly.
Razor tweeted, your thoughts regarding the deep-rooted racism of the Second Amendment and how it relates to today's tragedy. Yeah, I mean, there's this idea that the Second Amendment was designed so that guns wouldn't be taken away, firearms wouldn't be taken away from plantation slave owners because they needed the firearms to control the slaves. Yeah, so that is a thing. I don't know a whole lot about that theory, but I've read something about that, and I don't know. It sounds like it could be true, but I'd have to look into it a little more. Meanwhile, John Patrick Gatta tweets, "How about what the F is wrong with this country's citizens? ! Well, that's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I do know that the citizens tend to eat what we're fed. So when the NRA comes up with a really good bumper sticker slogan, sounds good enough to us, and we say, sure, why not? Guns don't kill people, people kill people. Sure, why not? The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're very simple-minded. If you can sum it up in a sentence, you're set.
Anything that fits on a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's one of the scariest things that I see occurring in my lifetime. And that is the decline of public education. And I'm not talking about bad teachers or, low budgets, things like that. I'm just talking about how they're gutting so many things that made our school systems great, made our education a priority. You know, and just what I read about the other day, they're eliminating more art classes, they're eliminating music classes now.
Yeah. No art, no music, but a lot of guns.
A lot of guns. Make sure you bring your gun. Leave your crayons at home, though.
I finally become that guy. It took me a really long time.
What's that?
To think that, like, my youth was... You know, God, I grew up during Watergate, for God's sakes, and yet somehow I think that my youth was simpler.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like early 80s. I mean, even the Reagan era, it's like, well, it was still simpler.
Well, I mean, I always think back to being in high school, and that was only the late 80s. I mean, I was in high school from, 85 to 89? And they had Latin class. I had 4 years of Latin in public school, public high school. I was in an art class throughout the entire time I was in high school. And we had a printing press. We had silkscreen screens. We had a kiln, a full-size kiln in there. I mean, are there any art classes left in public high school? And I'm looping this in only because I think the lack of education, the lack of... The inability for us to create well-rounded citizens directly precipitates the belief in the nonsense that Fox News Channel and the conservative entertainment complex pumps into the bloodstream of this country every damn day, 24 hours a day. And it's just the fertile ground for that is growing as our education system declines. See, now there's a serious ending to the serious show.
I like it.
We're going to talk about, hey, F it. We're going to talk about Trump on the Postmortem Show. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, and we'll see you on the after party on Friday. Bye-bye, folks.